Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, I'm going to do a little bragging. If you're okay with me doing a little bit of bragging, I'm going to do some bragging today because I'll tell you what, Tina and I, we just accomplished something that we set out to accomplish about, I don't know, 12, 13 months ago. Actually, might have been a little longer, might have been closer to 14 months ago. We accomplished something incredible. We did. And I want to share the results with you because I want you to understand that real estate investing is the real deal. I want you to fully understand that there is another way for you to achieve retirement, to achieve wealth, to achieve passive income streams that has nothing to do with what you're doing right now. So let's get to the bragging, shall we? All right, I know you want me to brag. All right, so here's what happened. About 14 months ago, Tina and I, we made a decision to start selling some assets that we had acquired a long time ago. Yeah, when I say a long time ago, I meant like 20 years prior. Yeah, so we had bought some single family assets. Actually, they were duplexes, and we owned and operated them incorrectly for many years because we were not Lifestyles Unlimited members. Nobody had taught us the correct way to do this stuff. And we were just kind of, you know, meandering through the process. Well, in 2017, we become members of Lifestyles Unlimited. And as part of the educational program, we learned the flaws in what we had been doing from an operational standpoint with those properties. So we went to work and we changed the dynamic of those properties. We did. We actually, by doing the things that we were taught by Lifestyles Unlimited, we were able to take a $1,000 a month negative cash flow. Yeah, that's what these assets were producing for my household. It was costing me $1,000 a month out of my paycheck to keep these assets afloat. We turned it around to where those assets were paying us $1,000 a month. Yeah. Now, that was a really good result for us. I'll be honest with you. I mean, just in a matter of a very short period of time, applying principles that we had been taught to assets and then watching those assets respond correctly, we were like, this is finally going in the direction it's supposed to go in. And about 14 months ago, we decided that those assets that we had for a very long period of time, well, they just weren't producing as well as other assets that we could have acquired. So Tina and I made a decision that we would sell those properties. And we did. We sold all three of those properties and we did what's called a 1031 exchange. In other words, for each property that we sold, we followed the tax law, the 1031 exchange law. And what that allowed us to do was to keep all of our capital in play. Okay, let me explain myself to you. If we had just sold those assets outright, one of the things that is written into IRS code is that if you sell an asset that you hold for investment for more than a year, which we clearly held these assets for more than a year, and you made a profit, we made a profit on those properties, you're subject to something called capital gains taxes. Okay. And that is based on a percentage of the gain that you earn. The other thing that the IRS code calls for is something called depreciation recapture. See, the IRS has a system in place where it affords investors the opportunity to depreciate the physical assets that they own. It's actually designed to help stimulate the economy and stimulate investment. It's been around for a long, long time. And this depreciation recapture thing is something that allows the government to, you know, get a little bit of that back when you transact the property. So the situation that Tina and I were in was simply this. Because we had owned these assets for such a long time, the taxes that we would have owed on these assets, the capital gains and the depreciation recapture, would have consumed about 70% of the money that we would have earned as profit. Yeah, that's kind of how the math all worked out, because we'd owned these properties for a very, very long period of time. But the 1031 exchange, well, that thing is pretty awesome, because what it allowed us to do was sell those properties, avoid paying the taxes. Now, we weren't absolved of the taxes. Let me be very, very clear with you. The tax liability on the sale of those properties is still in play. But the tax liability was moved from the asset that I sold, and it was moved into the asset that I bought. Okay, so what this did for me was it allowed me to retain a big portion, actually all of my profit. I was able to take all of my profit and buy replacement assets with that profit, not having to worry about carving 70% of that profit out and filing it as part of my taxes. So here's where the bragging comes in. Because Tina and I were able to do that, and we exchanged one duplex for one house, a single family house. Then we exchanged a second duplex for a second single family house. And then we exchanged a third duplex for a third single family house. So here's what the net to us was. The net to us was we went from 6 units to 3 units. But the 3 units that we bought, wow. Well, let me just tell you. Because we had invested correctly in the right area, we've done extremely well. When we come back from the break, I'm going to break down what's going to happen later on today, because Tina and I are going to escrow. Stick around.
Del Wamsley's Real Estate Investing Worst Case Scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. In 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. People like myself, who got started at 87, go, you know what, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% on a savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. I said, well, what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so here's the bragging. I'm just going to get right to the point. Tina and I made a decision to put one of those properties that we had traded into up for sale. We did. We made the decision to sell one of those assets. And here's why. That asset had hit the price target that we had set for it. Let me explain to you how all that worked out. So when we sold one of our properties, let me just tell you what we did. So I sold a duplex. I think I sold it for $175. Okay, so what the IRS says is, okay, if you bought it for $175, and I think I paid, I don't know, $100,000 for it like 20 years prior, right? So my capital gain on that asset is like $75,000, right? Now, I'm going to pay closing costs and things like that. So my true cost of sale, my net that I actually sold that thing for, isn't a full $175,000. It's closer to $165,000-ish, okay? So as a result of that, what that really meant was I had to find another asset to trade into. Now, when you're doing something called a 1031 exchange, the rule of thumb is that if you find another asset and it costs you a dollar more than what the net sales price was on your previous asset, in other words, you take the total sales price, you take the cost of sale off, that's your net. As long as you're a dollar above that number, it usually works out just fine. So we bought a house for $174,000. Now, this particular asset, it was owned by another investor, and the other investor had gone in and they had done some work on the property. But unfortunately, all the things that really needed to be done on that property, well, they really didn't get done. There were a couple of things that were left to be dealt with later. Okay. Now, I'll just tell you, that's how that investor wanted to treat that asset. Okay. Not how I wanted to treat the asset. Now, I knew that there was some additional work that needed to be done on this property. But I also knew that that property that I was going to buy for $174,000, actually it was $174,048. Don't ask me how we got to the 48. But here's the thing. That asset that we're buying for $174,000 was going to need some additional repair work. Now, this asset actually had a resident in place. Yeah, this investor had gone and rented the property out to somebody that was interested in renting the property. And the person renting the property, well, to be honest with you, they were excellent residents. They really were. They took care of the property to the best they could. They paid on time. I mean, that's what you want from somebody occupying one of your properties, right? And as we got closer to the end of the lease period, they had made a decision that they wanted to move out of the property and do something else. And you know what? I'm totally fine with it. It's their life. They got to live it the way they want to live it. The other thing that I needed, I needed them to leave the property because what I didn't want to do was finish all of the repairs that needed to be done while they were in the property because it would have been very, very disruptive to their lifestyle. And who wants to rent a property that has a minor rehab project going on in the middle of it? Yeah, nobody. Nobody. So the residents moved out. We sent our contractor over. And we walked through the property with them and we determined, okay, these are the things that still needed to be done. We found a couple other things that actually needed to be done too, because all the repairs weren't done initially. Okay. And when I bought the property, the timing wasn't good, especially for the resident, for me to go in there and, you know, decide I'm going to do all this minor rehab stuff. So as a result of that, there was a little bit of extra damage to the property because one of the repairs hadn't been completed correctly. Let's just put it that way. So at the end of the day, it cost me some extra money to get this property up to speed. But here's what I knew about this property. This particular property at the time had, in my opinion, based on the research that I did for comparable sales for a property that was all fixed up, ready to go in that particular neighborhood, I knew that property was worth about $205,000. You heard me correctly, $205,000. I also knew that it was going to take a little bit of money to get it there, but at my 174 price point, it wasn't going to take me the difference between 174 and 205 to get this property up to speed. Are you tracking? There was a benefit to me to actually doing the rehab a little bit out of sync with how I would normally do it. Now, how I would normally do it is I would buy an asset and I would go through that asset and I'd make it exactly the way I want it to be. and I'll put it on the market after I do that. If it costs too much to do that, then I'll skip the asset and I'll go on to the next one. Trust me, there's plenty of properties out there to choose from. But in this particular situation, because I was coming out of a 1031 exchange, timing had to be excellent, and I had to find an asset that I could trade into. So there are certain rules that you have to work with within that 1031 time frame that can limit your choices for replacement property. Yeah, but in this particular case, my choices weren't limited. I found an asset that I thought was going to do well. So the resident's gone. We started the rehab, and we got the property up to the standard it's supposed to be. Everything in that property that could go wrong in the next 5 to 7 years has been addressed. It has all been addressed. And I contacted another member of my team. Her name's Bonnie. She's my realtor. And I said, "Hey, Bonnie, I need some help. Can you do some comps for me?" Now, this is the beautiful thing about having a realtor on your team, because the realtor can go find information for you like lickety-split. I mean, like super fast. They've got access to that multiple listing service database, and they can find stuff out there, and it's good qualified information. So I said, "Do me a favor, Bonnie. I'm looking for two things. The first thing I want to know is, what can this property run for?" Now, the previous rent was $1,350, and I knew that was a little bit under market because I actually owned the property next door, which was a little bit smaller, and I was getting more for rent there. So I knew the price of the rent could go up. And Bonnie said, "Yeah, that size property in that area, yeah, it's running for about $1,550 a month." And I thought, wow. That is incredible. That would be a $200 bump on my passive income every month, and it's really not going to cost me anything to do that. And then I asked her the second question. "Hey, Bonnie, what's it worth?" Oh, boy. When I got that answer, well, I'll tell you after the break.
Your challenge is that you don't believe you can be rich, is that you don't believe you can retire within 5 years. That's half of your challenge. And until you can come up with that belief system, until you can reconcile that in your mind, you won't be willing to take the steps necessary to get there. So you need to get in here and meet some people.
Join us for the next free workshop and meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited that will share Del Walmsley's belief system and empower you to take the steps you need to be successful. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. All right. So Bonnie ran all the comps for me. Now, if you're just joining me, my name is Al Gordon, and I'm telling you about a real estate transaction that my wife Tina and I are about to finalize a little later on today. We're going to go to escrow, and we're going to sign documentation that will transfer ownership of one of our investment assets to a young man who is serving in the United States Air Force. You heard me correctly. I am selling him my house, and here's why. Bonnie ran some comps for me. If you're just joining me, I was talking about how we got to this place of selling one of our assets, why we chose to do that. And the piece of information that you didn't know in the last segment is specifically what is the property really worth? What is it really worth? So here's the background information you need to have. When we bought this property, and I want to say it was at the end of November 2020. I think that's correct. Yeah, so we bought the property at the end of November 2020 in the middle of the pandemic. I paid $174 for it. I knew there was some deferred maintenance on it. And I also knew that I wasn't going to be able to get right to that deferred maintenance. But the deferred maintenance that was there was probably fine. It wasn't going to cause me major cost to renovate because, you know, all of a sudden that deferred maintenance like got really, really bad. Sometimes deferred maintenance can go from bad to really bad, like really fast. So you have to be careful about not addressing it. But the deferred maintenance that we were looking at was, it's not life, limb, or safety or any of that sort of stuff. It's stuff that, okay, the person living there, they're already living with it. They don't seem to have a problem with it. They're not asking me to address it. I'm not going to address it. I'm going to wait until they leave. They left, I addressed it, and I said, hey, Bonnie, what can I rent this place for? And she said, well, market rents right now look like about $1,550 for that size of home, cleaned up in that particular neighborhood. Yeah, definitely you get $1,550 all day. You might even be able to squeeze $1,600 out of it. So I thought, okay, well, the previous rent that I had inherited was $1,350, which I also knew was a little bit under market, but I also realized that the previous owner who executed that lease, he gave them a little bit of a break on the price because he didn't fix everything that he should have fixed. I'm just calling it the way it is. So when I looked at the analysis and I said, wow, my cash flow could go up $200 a month. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. That would be an extra $200 a month coming into my household. Because to be honest with you, now we're just dealing with a rent increase. All the other expenses that I've been dealing with regards to ownership of that property, they're relatively fixed with the exception of property tax and insurance, which tend to go up. Okay, those do tend to go up. But my net would have been like, you know, I would have put literally that extra $200 all in my pocket. That would have given Tina and I a $2,400 a year raise. I was interested in putting an extra $2,400 a year in my pocket without really having to do a whole lot to do it. But then Bonnie, she gave me the next piece of information. And this piece of information was the piece of information that sent us down the road that we've gone down. She said, Al, it looks like the comps for this particular house in this particular area in its particular condition, which at this point it was all fixed up, all ready to go, best of the best, $225. And I said, Bonnie, say that number again. She said, $225. Okay, think about what I've told you earlier in the show. When I bought the property, I don't know, what, 14 months prior? When I bought the property, the comps, all fixed up, were at $205. My target, my exit target that I laid on the property, that was the goal, that was the objective that I set for this property. I said, if I could get the property to $225 and I could sell it at $225, that would be a win-win for me. That would be my strike price. That would be enough for me to step away from that asset. And Bonnie said, we can get you $225. I've got comps that easily suggest $225. And I said, all right, let's do this. Let's put it on the market, $225. Let's not fool around. Let's go on the market for $225. And Bonnie brought me like six offers. Okay, one offer was just a terrible offer, lowball offer. But all the other offers were at least at my asking price of $225 or higher. $225 or higher. So I initially went with an offer that came in at $230. Now, that wasn't the highest priced offer that I received. I actually received another offer that came in higher. But I thought $230 was a better number, a more realistic number for an appraiser to get to, because I knew the property was worth $225. I thought it might be worth $230, but I wasn't sure. I wasn't 100% sure, and I still had to have an appraiser go out and validate that price. All right, so we went with that offer for $230. We told the buyer that they had it, and for whatever reason, they got spooked, and they disappeared on me. I mean, literally. Like, it was like, hey, you got it, and it was like, sorry, my buyer doesn't want it now. I'm like, okay. So what did I do? I went with the highest priced offer. Guy came in at $240. He came in at $240. He says, I'm a veteran. I'm entitled to VA entitlements. I can buy a house with no money down through the VA. I'm willing to pay maximum price for your house, man, because I just want to buy a house. And I was sitting there going, I think 240 is a stretch, though, bro. I don't know if I can get 240. So what we did was we agreed to accept his offer, subject to appraisal. Okay, so basically, and here's the other thing that the VA does for individuals that are entitled to use the VA loan program, like me. There's actually a built-in out to the loan program, which basically says that if the property does not appraise for the agreed-upon transaction price, you can't force the veteran to come in with the difference in cash. You can't force, they could, you could ask them if they want to, but you can't force them to do that. As a matter of fact, everything defaults to the appraisal price, and you would have to have that veteran agree to come in with more money. So, we went with 240. First thing Bonnie does, she gets that appraiser out there. Let's get him out there. So the appraiser comes out, appraisal's done, price comes in, 233. That's what the appraiser said that property was worth. Now, think about it for a minute. I was willing to sell it for 225, but the appraiser said it was worth 233. So the appraiser actually kept an extra $8,000 in the deal. Yeah, an extra $8,000 in the deal. And then my broker said, look, I know this guy wants it. Let's counter back 235 and let him put a little skin in the game. Let's see what he's willing to do. He came back and he said, you know what? I'll do it. I'll buy it for 235. I'll put $2,000 down. I don't have to by law, but I will, because I've been looking long and hard to find a house. And it is difficult to find a house at that price point in today's market. So I said, okay. And then what I did was I did some extra things to the property to make it even nicer. And I'm not even going to tell you what those are, but just because I thought it was the right thing to do. I'm helping a fellow vet out. That's just the way I roll. So here's what happened to us financially. Now, I haven't closed escrow on this property yet. I still have to go to the title company today, and I actually have to sign on the dotted line. So, I mean, I could screw this whole thing up between now and then, but I'm not going to. Oh, and more importantly, I didn't do a 1031 exchange this time. What? Okay, I'll explain myself when we come back. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Kirby talks about his experience at the two-day financial freedom seminar.
2008 was my first full year as a financial advisor. 2009, stark contrast, my paychecks went down about 80%. I started looking for avenues to grow my wealth, grow my income. I found Lifestyles Unlimited. I joined in 2010. I started investing in both single family and multifamily. Between 2010 and 2015, I bought 5 houses. The two-day class, they teach you to buy 4 houses to make your first $250,000. I bought 5 and I made about $60,000 each. That was another $300,000 that I made because of real estate.
You've heard us and our members on the radio. Now join the Lifestyles Unlimited team in a city near you or online from the comfort of your own home for the Financial Freedom Seminar. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Use promo code 2022. Save 60% off the regular price, plus get a second year of membership for free. Register now at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. All right, I got to just get into the financials for you. I've told you about how the whole transaction thing has worked out. And to be honest with you, I think it takes more time to actually tell you about the transaction than to actually do the transaction. Yeah, it's just the way it is. So we're going to escrow later on today. We're gonna sign on the dotted line. I haven't gotten cold feet or anything. I want this young man to get this house. I really do. And this asset has done for us everything that I intended it to do. And here's the big takeaway. I actually intended to sell this property 3 to 4 years from now. Yeah, you heard me correctly. I intended to sell it 3 to 4 years from now because I really thought, based on where I thought the property was worth when I acquired it at $205,000, and I had set a strike price of $225,000. That's the price that I wanted that property to get to before I would transact it. I thought it was going to take 3 to 4 years to get there. Yeah, it didn't. It didn't. With what's been going on in the real estate markets with, you know, the whole lack of supply. It's all fundamental economics. It's all fundamental economics that's driving the real estate markets right now. And it has to do with supply and demand. And it has to do with scarcity of inventory. And the fact that I just happen to have an asset that, to be honest with you, 10 years ago, if I had taken that asset and put it out on the market and held out for top dollar, it's possible I might have been on the market for 6 months and never gotten a nibble. That's very possible. But that's the way that real estate market was 10 years ago. But today, it's a different animal. Today, you've got people clamoring for property. You know, there's the so-called affordable house, the house that, you know, every American wants to buy, right? Well, it keeps going up in price. And because of what's going on with the markets, real estate prices are adjusting upwards. You can't deny it. Because of all of that, and because we achieved excellent appreciation, which, to be honest with you, I had nothing to do with. No, I had nothing to do with the appreciation that that property enjoys. The markets did that for me. Totally did it for me. Now, here's the other thing I want you to understand. The reason we decided to sell that property, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, it hit our target price. If the asset hits our target price, it means it's going to do something for us. And in this particular case, what it did for us is it more than doubled. Let me say that again. It more than doubled the amount of money that we invested in that property. Yeah, you heard me correctly. So when I bought this thing, I did a 1031 exchange from a property that I had sold. There was like, I don't know, about $38,000 sitting in the accommodator's trust account because the money has to go to an accommodator. That's the law. I'm not allowed to touch it. Not that I would, but I'm not allowed to touch it. So the money goes from escrow to a third-party accommodator who holds the money until I find the property. And then when I'm ready to close escrow, they wire that money in and complete the transaction for me. $38,000, roughly. $38,000 was the money that we moved into this asset. Now, what I'm going to share with you right now is something called the bottom line on my closing statement. You see, the escrow company sent me an itemized closing statement for me to review prior to signing. And here's what I'm reviewing. Cash to seller, $83,000. You heard me correctly. Cash to seller, $83,000. All right, so let's take a moment to digest what that means. If I have an $83,000 check coming to me later on today, and it cost me $38,000 to get into the deal, my net profit is $45,000. Now, I will tell you this, it did cost me some money to do the repairs that needed to be done, but I still doubled my money. Yeah, I doubled my money in a little over a year. Now, I'm bragging. I'm actually pretty happy about this asset doing this. So this is what it does for us. I'm going to get a check for $83,000 today. And what I'm going to do with that money is I'm going to go out and buy some apartment communities. You heard me correctly. I'm going to take that money and I'm going to invest that money with other Lifestyles Unlimited members, and I'm going to invest in apartment communities. And the reason I'm going to invest in apartment communities is because I have found that passively investing with other Lifestyles Unlimited members, I do a whole lot less work and I make just as much money. It's really a cool thing. It is really a cool thing. So this asset right here, what this represents to me is I'm trading in that asset. Essentially, I'm making it go away and I will replace it with two other assets. So not only did I double my money in this investment, I'm going to double the number of assets I have in my portfolio. So I'm doubling and I'm doubling. This is a cool thing. When's the last time you doubled your money on your investments? Now, I know that there are those of you out there that invest in the stock market. I know there are those of you out there that have doubled your money in the stock market. I know that happens out there. But how long did it take you to do it? And did you get the benefit of all the different ways we make money in real estate? You know, there's the cash flow, there's the natural appreciation, there's the equity capture, which, you know, when you buy property correctly, you're really only buying it at wholesale pricing, even though you're using retail pricing for your valuation. Yeah, then there's principal pay down. Of course, the tax advantages. It's the tax advantages of the 1031 exchange that made everything that I'm telling you possible. Now, Tina and I, we decided that we were not going to do a 1031 exchange on this particular asset, which means that that tax liability that we migrated from that original property into this property will still have to be dealt with, as well as the tax liability based off of the sale of the second asset. So we have a bigger tax liability. But here's the thing. We have a lot of depreciation that is coming off of a lot of apartment buildings that we have invested in, and that depreciation will offset the tax liability that we have, which means we keep all of our money in play. And that's the thing. We're keeping all of our money in the game. This is just a strategy that we're using to double our assets while we double our money. It's a great thing. This is the same strategy that Tina and I will use on our other two houses. The reason we haven't sold those houses yet, well, there's a couple reasons. The first reason is when we bought those actually were fixed up pretty much to standard. Yeah, they were pretty much to our standard. So they're already in better condition. The other thing is I have great residents in those properties, and those residents want to stay in those properties. So to be honest with you, I'm not interested in selling those properties out from underneath the residents that I have. Because if I were to sell those properties, I would probably have to just sell it to another investor because the leases would have to stay in place. But here's the other thing that you may not know. On one of those particular properties, the resident that's living there, she loves the house. She has asked me for an exclusive right to buy that property when I decide to sell it. And I told her that I would do that for her, that when the time came, I would give her an opportunity to buy the property from me first, and she would have to compete with nobody. It would not go on the market. It would be a transaction between her and myself. And I will do things that I can within my power to make that transaction very favorable for her. Now, I will insist on getting my price. I am looking for fair market value, because if I don't get fair market value, well, then it doesn't make sense for me to sell the asset because the asset hasn't performed to the point where I want it to perform. But here's what I know. These other two assets, they've already hit their strike prices that Tina and I set for them. So now, wow, I guess we got no choice. We're just going to have to become a little wealthier. All right, if you want to find out how to do all this stuff, it's really not that hard. Go to lifestylesunlimitedworkshops.com. When you get there, sign up for our free workshop, and we will show you the answer to all of your problems.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.